Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Coming up in a few minutes, a status report on the local VA and the medical care regional vets are getting here. But first, we've reported before on the local approach to attracting immigrants. They are seen, as increasingly important to economic growth here. Attracting them to our community is only part of the process. Welcoming them and keeping them is another. Over the next several days, two events are scheduled designed to find ways to extend a helping hand to immigrants and refugees. A workshop will be held next week on immigrant entrepreneurship and skilled labor. It has the support of the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank. One of the participants will be Betsy Cohen, project director for the St. Louis Mosaic Project. It's dedicated to promoting immigration to help energize the community. And Mosaic is launching a welcoming project next week to both welcome and encourage immigrant newcomers. Betsy Cohen joins me in studio. Milan Sant is CEO of Lipospectrum, also participating in the workshop. He is a native of India and he's been in St. Louis since 1999. Allison Collinger is a small business owner and also a St. Louis Mosaic Project ambassador. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you here. Betsy, I'll start with you. There seems to be yet another surge in trying to attract and add to our immigrant community here. What's going on to cause this surge?
Well, we've had great response from the community about the St. Louis Mosaic Project. The idea that we can have regional prosperity through immigration and innovation has resonated. And people come up to me when I speak and they say, Betsy, what can I do to help? And I say, become one of our Mosaic ambassadors, take the word out, share this with your neighborhood, your friends, and be part of it. So there's been a real groundswell. We thought we would have maybe 50 ambassadors, and right now we have 220, and I would love to see 230. 50 or 300.
You know, a lot of people might be surprised that we are so interested as a community, as many communities are, in attracting both immigrants and refugees. Why are they so important to a community?
Well, the research that we developed over the last 2 years through St. Louis University, Professor Strauss, showed that the foreign-born who are in our community are better educated and more entrepreneurial than our native-born population. So not only economically, but socially, that is great information. And so if we want to grow as a region, that's important fact.
And how many do we have in this region?
We have 126,000 foreign-born people out of a region of 2.8 million, which is essentially under 5%, whereas other top 20 regions have 20%. Foreign-born. So we have a great opportunity to increase diversity of people and at the same time have more economic prosperity.
And by 2020, the project is still underway to try to make this one of the leading communities in the country in terms of that population.
Yeah, the goal is that we're the fastest growing major metropolitan area by 2020 for foreign-born growth.
Milan Sant, let me ask you about your experience here. You've been here for 14 years now, and you're the CEO of a successful company. What attracted you to St. Louis?
Well, I actually was recruited by Sigma Aldrich to do marketing for their fine chemicals from Boston area. And ever since we moved here, I have nothing but enjoyed staying at St. Louis. So this is the place where I have lived the longest. This is a place where I found and my children found a great educational systems. I had an opportunity to get my executive MBA from WashU. After my PhD from TCU. So,
how welcoming has this community been to you and your family?
I think as a community, it has been nothing but great. My children go to Ladue School District, and they have been given all kinds of opportunities.
Allison, let me turn to you now, because one of your jobs with regard to the Mosaic Project is to afford that welcoming hand, if you will. Tell us how this process works as a Mosaic ambassador.
Well, I was new to St. Louis a number of years ago, not from another country, but from another community. And I found the opportunity when Betsy mentioned it to me that St. Louis Mosaic would be a perfect way for me to formalize my involvement as an ambassador to St. Louis. I have always found that it's a wonderful place to be, but sometimes it's hard to get into the right sort of networks and business opportunities. And so this is a way for those of us who'd like to volunteer in real life to help other people who need to get connected into the community so they feel welcome and have a job opportunity. And it's a way that we can actually help each other do that. And it's really formalizing something that I think has always been around. Our country was built on immigration at various times. And St. Louis is an easy place to live. It's a wonderful place to live and raise a family. And the cost of living here is great. And we have a tipping point in terms of what we are doing as a community. And being welcoming is literally changing the conversation in St. Louis.
I hate to bring this up, but given what you and Melinda said, but we've done programs here, people saying that St. Louis is not always the most welcoming place, that it's really hard to crack the natives, if you will.
I think that can be true, but I think that groups like ours, the St. Louis Ambassadors, other organizations that do things in the community that help welcome people, as long as people see that there's an opportunity and get connected with people, they don't have a problem. As I said, I came here to be a Coro Fellow in Public Affairs, and I stayed in St. Louis. And it was because I had networked into a large network of people that were willing to help. And I think most St. Louisans, even if they've lived here for their whole lives, are very welcoming and very helpful if they have the right opportunities to do that, which is what St. Louis Mosaic is all about. And I would love to see some of the people who've always lived here, who can answer the question of where they went to high school, be involved, because they really have a lot to offer.
There are a couple of dozen Coro Fellows in St. Louis right now. Let's see how many of them decide to stay. I hope
that's
you do.
Right. And it's a major goal for Focus St. Louis.
Betsy, how about from your perspective with regard to this whole notion of how welcoming we are?
Well, when I spoke to many of the foreign-born here, they told me that St. Louis people are helpful but not welcoming. And that really became part of the genesis of why we created the Mosaic Ambassador Program, is to flip the switch, that tipping point of helpful versus welcoming. I'll give you an example. One of the medical students said that he needed help getting his mattress up the flight of steps. And people would stop and help him, but they wouldn't invite him for a cup of coffee. So they would help but not make that personal connection. And so one of the six jobs that an ambassador is supposed to do is to have dinner or coffee with a foreign-born person. Make those relationships. So go beyond helpful to welcoming.
And how are they received? Allison, I'll turn back to you. How do they react to this extended hand?
You know, I often go to events and I'll have an opportunity to invite someone who's not from this country to a social event. And I have found that they, by and large, are always interested in coming to home or having coffee. They just haven't been asked. And so that's always been built into the way I operate. So to me, this is a really natural way to extend a hand to people. And I think if we could just get everyone to be more intentional about that, which is what the ambassadors do, it's an opportunity.
Melinda, did you have any apprehension when you came to yet another new community about how you'd be received?
Well, I was very fortunate to my first exposure to Midwest. When I first came in 1985, December of 84 actually, I came to South Dakota. And I got an exposure to Midwest values, Midwest people, and I really fell in love with Midwest.
And Midwest weather up in that part of the country.
So I made the small change. Uh-huh. After the South Dakota, I went to Texas, a much warmer place. And we ended up on the East Coast for 8 years. So when I had a chance to come back to Midwest, it was a wonderful chance.
What is it, do you think, and I'll ask this to everyone here at the table, what is it, do you think, that causes newcomers to this country and to this community to work so hard and to such a large degree become so successful?
Well, I think when you are immigrant, you know, you are trying to build a new life in a new country, and you don't have the infrastructure that you had in your own country. So picking your doctor to picking your dentist to picking your flower place to go to or your church to go to, right? Everything has to be done by yourself and maybe friends that you made in that community. So nothing is easy, especially when you move around. Luckily, in our country, its basic resources are common in every place. Mm-hmm. There will be malls, there will be grocery stores, maybe names might be different. So the adjusting here was not that difficult for me. And I'm a people person.
Betsy, I'll turn to you. But there's an ethic also that I think a lot of us detect and among the newcomers. How do you see that?
I think we all have immigrant stories in our families. Hmm. And my family came to the Midwest a long time ago, and one part of my family started a bakery, the other part started a distillery. When people come, they have to find a way, and they create. And that's where I think the learning is, that that job creation, creating opportunities, is something that's in all of our histories, and we see that in the newer immigrants to our community. And they may be scientists and very well educated and a CEO of LiPo
Spectrum.
At the same time, they also may start a nail salon, and they may work in the home health care business. We need that entrepreneurial spirit. And we see that because, really, for all of our incubators in town right now, 30% are foreign-born in the leadership teams.
Is there by any chance a dollar figure that could be put on what these 100,000-plus immigrants do to this economy?
I don't know. That's a great question, what the value is. I think the International Institute has some of the information about the dollar value that all the immigrants and refugees they serve, and that's a really important number, and I'll look at it.
All right. Allison, let me turn to you with regard to this whole ethical issue and why these people who come to our community work so hard.
Well, I think I see a variety of people who are just trying to make a new life for themselves and the opportunity to be an entrepreneur in this country. We still have a country that provides the opportunity for all boats to rise with the proper connections and education. And we have a large degree of people who are looking to make a new life, and they bring fresh perspectives to this country. And that's how our country has recycled and gone through different immigration waves over the years and seen the opportunity to build this country as we've gone.
I have to take a break now. We'll do that and come back and continue the conversation. I'd also like to invite listeners to get into this discussion if you'd like to weigh in on the whole issue of immigrants and immigrants in our community and the advantages of their presence here. We'd love to hear from you at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We will take a tweet at STL on air. So come on in if you'd like to. We'll take this break now. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation about immigrants in our community. We have with us Betsy Cohen, who is the project director for the St. Louis Mosaic Project. Allison Collinger is a St. Louis Mosaic Project ambassador. And Millen Sant is CEO of LiPo Spectrum. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But Betsy, let me turn to you for another issue that I think might pop up, and that is, we read about it from time to time in this community and certainly in others, and that is that there is a certain degree of resentment at times against the newcomers who come in. Many of them come in better educated, as you've indicated. They tend to make more money because of that. They have high-tech jobs that they tend to gravitate toward. What about this resentment factor? Is that an issue here?
It is a factor. One of the responses is a factual one, and the other is an emotional one. Everywhere that I have that question, we try to share the facts about the job creation that happens, which creates jobs for others in the community, as well as the fact that foreign-born people here then become customers of other businesses here, and they shop at the local stores, and they buy gas, and they buy homes, they keep the schools open. So trying to bring the facts to the forefront is important, but there always is an emotional feeling of how is it going to be growth if maybe somebody is still hurting or someone in their family is hurting. But we are more and more in a global world and a global economy, and we have to bring that to the forefront, even though people do take it personally.
Allison, how do you deal with this issue as you welcome the newcomers?
Well, I think that we have to look at the opportunities that there are here and focus on the positives. And there are organizations such as the Diversity Awareness Partnership that's really promoting sort of making a difference by accepting everyone else's and really looking at positive ways to approach the subject. It's always going to be an issue from an economic standpoint and how people look at that, but just looking at those opportunities and promoting them in that way. And as an ambassador, I have the opportunity to put into place ways to support some of these restaurants and promote those both in person and also online. So I'm always trying to promote different businesses and organizations and people that are from other countries.
As Betsy has indicated, a lot of these folks come in, and when they do, they hire people and they generate revenue and go out and buy things. They become consumers and make other people who work for them consumers as well. So, Milan, let me turn to you with regard to how you're participating in that through LiPo Spectrum. What is that? How many employees do you have? And what kind of what kind of an economic boost is your company giving to this community?
So our LipoSpectrum was formed essentially based on a technology that was developed right here at Washington University Medical School. It allows us to do lipid analysis on any samples. And the reason I did this, started this company mainly is because I was tired of seeing the technologies being developed in our Midwest region and going on either coast. Having lived on the East Coast for 8 years, I knew the quality of life is way much better here than there. So when this technology matured, we decided to start a company. Our company is small. It's a still startup. We have 2 employees, including me, and we have developed the technology now to a point where we can do meaningful analysis on a variety of samples.
What about the notion of expansion?
The best part about this region and our technology is our technology, we sit in the middle of the country. Samples can come from either coast in a relatively easy way, and we can get analysis done right here. And there's plenty of opportunity for me to expand, even in the incubator that I am.
There's a current debate in Washington going on with regard to immigration reform. Does that come into play at all with what you're doing and dealing with, Betsy?
It does. We are focusing mainly on those people in the country that are foreign-born, that are legally here, and how we could attract them. But the immigration system is broken, and our steering committee has taken a position that we are encouraging of our Congress, and I will be there in January presenting to fix the broken immigration system so that we can have particularly more visas for high-skilled people that we train in this country so that we can keep more of them and have a better chance at broadening the talent pool that we have. And there are other parts of immigration reform as well as some of those that are undocumented that we do expect will have certain legal status over the next few years. And we want to be prepared as our government comes to grips with this. How do we welcome people here?
The emphasis always seems to be on highly skilled workers.
We want both. So we as a region have made a strategic decision that we want both low-skilled and high-skilled because those are the needs that we are going to have, and that is the full spectrum that we will need in our schools and the neighborhoods. Many of the housing areas in our community here could use less-skilled people at lower pay scales who want to move into those regions.
Allison, how broad is the spectrum amongst those people that you deal with as an ambassador?
Well, I think it's a large spectrum, typically more with the high-skilled, and I have been a judge at Washington University in the Scandalera Center for the business plan competitions, and there are a number of college students who would love to stay here, but it's more difficult for them to have an opportunity to stay here, and often they're going back to their home country and perhaps taking their fabulous education and starting a business there when we could get them to start one here.
Milan, you're nodding in the affirmative there.
Yeah. The biggest challenge, I think, 25 years ago or so when I came, opportunities abroad were less and limited. Now that's not the case. There are many, many countries who are putting way much more money in R&D. And to me, our country needs to focus more on R&D. Our NIH budget needs to be going up. This is not the time to spend less on developing new technologies.
Well, it's also a time where it's difficult to try to get Washington to get anything done, particularly in this area. They keep kicking that can, I hate the expression, but kicking that proverbial can down the road, and not much seems to be getting done. So on this issue, anyway, let's take some calls. We'll begin with Liz calling from University City. Liz, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Liz Lippa. We've met before. I'm a speaker at the Holocaust Museum.
Oh, yes.
Grant. And what I wanted to say was that I think one of the reasons, one of the answers to your question about why are they so successful is embedded in the idea of look what it took for them to get out of their situation. Look what they had to give up, what it cost them, what kind of chances they took to leave their country. And I think that we get people who come with something extra to begin with.
Liz, thank you. We've heard this before. That is, it takes a special type to just even attempt to come here. And that's what I think we're all agreeing on, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Liz, thank you so much for the call. Let's bring in Patrick, who's calling us from Belleville. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi, Mr. Marsh. Great conversation. I came from Belfast, Northern Ireland, 27 years ago with $300 in my pocket, and I had a dream. And even though my parents said I didn't know anybody and I had limited funds, I would never be able to make it.
Patrick,
Patrick,
let me interrupt you. Something has gone very, very wrong with your cell phone, I take it. We really can't make out what you're saying, but we did hear that you came to this country with $300 in your pocket and presumably you've done well. I hope that's the case. Yeah, I think that was such a bad line, we couldn't really discern what he was saying. Let's go to Lake St. Louis and bring in Laurie. Go ahead.
Hi, I came here in 1985 from Australia. As for your comments about welcome, I found St. Louisans very welcoming. Perhaps it was because the Crocodile Dundee movie just been released, Australians were flavor of the month. But I saw opportunity here. It was just everywhere. I started up a business. I've been very successful at it. I do home inspections. And I think probably a lot of Americans don't see the opportunity that's here. Australia's a very successful country also, but it's so very easy to start a business and to buy property. I've also bought a bunch of rental properties over the years. So I think opportunity is the big thing a lot of people see when they come here.
Well, thank you so much, Laurie, for the call. What about support you get, Betsy, from, I assume you get, from the political and business community here?
The support has been really terrific. The steering committee has leaders from business and from our government bodies, as well as International Institute, educational. Support has been broad and great, and that has really made the difference for our region because this initiative kicked off before I got involved. I think the other area that is really working to our advantage is some of the technology in town, and that's one reason that I recruited Allison to be one of our Mosaic ambassadors, was to leverage social media so that we could spread this message not just through the traditional leadership people in the community, but through those that are more technically advanced and all the younger people in town that need to be part of this.
Do we need any kind of local legislation? By local, I mean statewide and more specifically St. Louis region. Legislation to help you all out and help this whole process out?
There may be. One of the things that we are going to be focusing on is two career paths for immigrants. One is going to be healthcare next year, and one is going to be engineering. And many of the people that are foreign-born come with skills in engineering or healthcare, but their degrees and certifications are not able to be used here. And in other states, people can sit for certain exams without taking certain courses. So we're going to be evaluating and looking at it from a broad-minded perspective to see if there are state opportunities.
Let me take one more call here. We'll bring in Mike, calling from North St. Louis. Mike, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah. Good afternoon. It's amazing that you never hear anybody trying to solicit information from poor whites or any African Americans about this so illegal immigration or any of this immigration. I got grandchildren that's in college. Why should they have to come out and compete against foreigners? And then this country got, 47 million people on food stamps, no health care, and you still at this drumbeat of bringing more. It's a disgrace. Ronald Reagan let 10 million in, so how many more do you want?
Mike, thank you. We'll have to cut that short because time is getting away from us. That's what I was alluding to before, to all of you. There is this feeling.
There is resistance.
Together. Yeah. Yeah. Any comment you have to make in that moment?
I would say that you know, we are focusing on those people that are here legally around the country and the opportunities to present for them. But we do understand that for people who have felt less opportunities, it is hard to understand that this is a global economy.
Right. We're going to have to cut this short in just a moment. Do you want to put a final line on this? I'll turn to you, Melinda. Your bottom line, and what do you want folks to take away from this conversation?
Well, I think the last caller's comment was that, you know, why do we need more? And I think it's, if you look at the long-term prospect for our community and our country, we definitely need more who can bring high technology to here and generate jobs and prosperity.
And maybe get that food stamp number down a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Allison?
As an ambassador, I feel like I'm an ambassador to all the people that I can reach in St. Louis to help in whatever way that I can, whether they're African-American or they've had less opportunities than perhaps others have. And so I think getting more ambassadors and signing up to be an ambassador means a wide swath and an opportunity. And being a digital ambassador is another way to do that. And I think many of us have that opportunity. And I would encourage all of you to decide to be an ambassador in St. Louis, whatever that looks like for you.
Betsy, what does one have to do to become an ambassador?
Go to STL Mosaic Project under Learn More and learn more, sign up to be an ambassador, and help us make the pie bigger for all of us here.
We'll put a link to that website on ours
thank
at stlpublicradio.org. I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Betsy Cohen, Allison Collinger, and Milan Sant, thank you so much, and continued success with what you folks are doing.
Thank you, Don.
Appreciate
thank
your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the local Veterans Administration healthcare operations. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.